Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Tennessee wins!
By Tennessee, Juwan Jennings!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back to Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Reddit dit to do and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, May 15th, and your Tennessee Volunteers, your fighting Tony Vitello's, the pride of Lindsey Nelson, are your outright only SEC regular season champions. We gonna take you to Hoover. We'll talk about. Hey, we got a special guest coming on before Hoover to talk Hoover, so I'm not gonna get ahead of myself. We still got a series left. Not that it matters, but we still got a series left. Tennessee regular season champs get a series win over Georgia this week. I know it wasn't a sweep we were all hoping for. You get to see Ben Joyce. The reason I didn't say his nickname, I text Landon this when we probably about the second inning, and I said we're gonna have to come up with a new nickname. Because he's not the fireman anymore. He's not putting out fires. They aren't getting started if he's on the mound.
It's true. It's just coming out of his arm.
I guess he's he's the volunteer fire chief now. He's the guy that goes out to try to, you know, prevent fires.
He is the fire.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point.
Yeah, keep him away from the Great Smoky Mountains. How about that?
Well, we talked about how Tennessee has four legit Friday night starters for just about any team in the SEC. I mean, there's exceptions. There's some phenomenal pitchers in the SEC. I didn't know they had a fifth.
Yeah, they do.
and
embarrassment of riches.
You know, it's insane how quickly his... Because, I mean, let's be honest. All right. A lot of people, I'm sure, are like, oh, he can't pitch 104, 103 for five innings. Okay, but what does that drop down to, 98? What's more insane to me is that his off-speed is just so nasty. I think that's what has made him legit. Like, I think that's what's put the starter role in a real possibility for him. Because, yeah, you can't just shove it 104 for five innings if that's all he had.
Right, but the weird thing is, like, he threw 20 pitches, 103-mile-an-hour
pulls. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. His velocity isn't really changing. And you're going to get – when you're throwing that hard, like, you got to make such a quick decision.
Right.
So you're throwing an 80-mile-an-hour pitch that moves, no chance.
I mean, he had one guy. We about had a ball end up at Tony Vitello's feet, and the dude still swung at it. I guess put me in the doubter in terms of like holding that velocity for so long, but at the same time, you know, it's still going to be fast, even if it's not 103. Still going to be fast.
Yeah,
but the fact that his off-speed pitch is just so filthy, I mean, yeah, he's a legit starter and he's a legit closer and he can come in relief or, you know, early. He is a valuable asset for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that, you know, yesterday definitely wasn't ideal. You didn't want to lose that game. No. And that seventh inning kind of got away from you. But you did have people pitch in positions they don't necessarily really have pitched in this entire year. Like Ben Joyce gets his first start. Drew Beam comes out of the pen. You know, you kind of see what you got and see what you do. Like, I mean, it's a lot more difficult than just like, hey, Drew, go to the pen and warm up. You're in the next, you know. At any time, yeah, you can go in. You know, and I don't think he pitched necessarily bad. You know, he gave up three singles. They were just hitting the hole, but they're ground, like two of them are ground balls. Right. So it's, you know, hard to really judge. You know, maybe he missed some spots here and there, but he's not walking anybody. You know, you're filling it up. And I feel like that's the You got a lot of pitchers, some experience they don't normally get on the weekend. So I thought that was interesting, kind of see what you got. I thought Chase Burns, you know, pitching out of the pen on Thursday, I thought he looked good. Dolander back in the starting lineup. I mean, he looked phenomenal on Thursday night.
Definitely a good weekend for Tennessee all around, but especially the pitching staff. Like you said, you got to I liked what Ben Upton, 11.7. I don't like that he said to pick Georgia on Saturday, but I liked his reason. He said this is going to be an experimental game for Tennessee in terms of you start a guy you've never started before. Figured you're going to see some guys in relief you don't normally see in relief. So, yeah, I think obviously you never want to lose a game. Like, that sucks. Like that. I mean, not that it is the end of the world, but you want to win them all. That's why you play, knowing it's not possible. But yeah, it was an experimental type game. Now, does Drew Beam pitch, like you said, it's hard to judge, but does he pitch better the next time coming out of the bullpen if he ever has to happen again? Maybe. It's invaluable experience that he got in a game. You can't simulate that in practice no matter how hard you try.
Yeah, or does it tell you, like,
he's not that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, or is he a guy who needs to start? Is he a guy that needs to know he's coming in pitching, you know, just that full routine? It didn't seem to bother Chase Burns, and I'm not saying it bothered Drew Beam. But Chase Burns looked like he was on top of things, and, you know, it just kind of got out of hand a little bit yesterday. Drew Beam gave up 3 straight singles, and, you know, then Redmond came in, gave up a 2-run shot, I think. Sack fly on a sack bunt that scored a run. So yeah,
just and a really good sack bunt too. Like, just a tough play.
I kind of wanted to see if you throw home, does it? Do you get him? It's close, but
yeah, and so it's invaluable experience in that Saturday game, that third game of the series. That all in all, you already won the SEC outright. All that does is just kind of pad that historical record. It doesn't really do much for you. I think it was a good time to get out and maybe get some looks you don't normally get. Like I said, that you don't get to simulate in practice. Like, you can never simulate in practice. Right. So I like that a lot. You're not doing it in game 3 of the second series of the season that you had clinched. This is true. You know, it's pretty much all wrapped up from here. So it's nice. I'm curious if you get any more kind of strange looks next week in Starkville. I don't know if strange is the right word, but maybe guys out of place that they wouldn't normally be in. But yeah, I like seeing Ben Joyce as starter. You've been saying you think he's a legit starter since, you know, that Auburn appearance that he made and went a couple innings. And yeah, he seems to be that, and very impressive. Not the only impressive all this weekend. A lot of dudes impressed, though. It was a freaking awesome weekend for the whole team. Hate that it didn't end in a sweep, but some impressive dudes out there. Blake Berg. Yeah. Golly.
Phenom. I mean, we talked about it the other day. I talked about it with somebody. He's going to own that parking lot out there. So, you know, next year.
They're going to have to rename it after him on Wednesday show.
Yeah, when he's in the lineup every single day, I would think twice about parking over there. I really would.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think it's I don't know what that lot is. I know. Don't players park over? Is that the players' lot? So they should know better by now.
No,
okay, gotcha. But you know, you mentioned you get to see Chase Dolander back. It looks like it's at least decided. We talked about how it mixes up with Tidwell being back to full health. It looks like at least Dolander's not the guy that gets moved.
No, it seems. He's going to be there. I would think Drew Beam. I mean, this weekend was trying to get. I mean, Tennessee didn't start their 2 best pitchers.
Yeah, you got a lot of rest.
Oh, I wouldn't say best pitcher. Dolander's been really good for him this season, but your Friday night guy and the guy that's been statistically the best so far this season,
right?
Didn't even start. So you got to take that. You know, you're trying to rest those guys a little bit. I think Drew Beam threw 15 pitches, Burns threw like 27 or something like that. So giving them a little bit of rest. And, you know, I'm not sure what they do next week. You know, do you want to have them full go before you hit the postseason, or do you kind of want to rest them a little bit more? And
right.
Because, they've not like they've fallen off any, but they've definitely taken a little step back. And, that's expected. I mean, the things that they were doing earlier in the season was incredible. Like, well, and we haven't seen that before.
We talk about taking care of business all the time. Just go out and take care of business. They've done that this year, and they've gotten themselves in a position where they get to rest now. Like, you did – Drew Beam pitched one inning. Mm-hmm. Chase Burns pitched –
1 2/3, I think.
Yeah. So it's like, that's a, I mean, that they're pitching 80, 90 pitches a game.
Right.
And so that rest this weekend was awesome to get before going to Hoover, before getting into postseason play entirely. Cause those guys are going to be there in some capacity and you need their arms in postseason. Especially with the regional, it looks like Tennessee's going to draw. Looks like you're going to have some tough matchups. So it's awesome to get those guys rest. It's why you take care of business early on in the season. Not so you can take your foot off the gas in the back half, but so you can do things that set you up for a successful postseason.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really sure what they do on the weekend. Like, if you're having everybody go full go, is it Dolander, right, Burns, Beam again? I don't know. I mean, like, Blade hasn't been the same Blade as last year.
Right.
And I mean, he had 6 strikeouts.
I was about to say, I mean, he's still
on Friday, but the walks is what's, I'm sure it's killing Frank. You know, the 3 walks, that's what gets him in trouble. You know, you can live with the 4 hits. You can live with the 1 earned run, but the 3 walks and then a few hits, like, that's, you know, that's when you're getting in trouble. So,
yeah. And that's like last year. And we even talked with Chad Dallas about kind of that mentality. It's like, is he going to give up 1, maybe 2 singles home runs in a game? Yeah. But he's not allowing guys on base. So when you're giving guys the base, well, now that 1 run home run turns into 2, 3 run home run because you're just letting guys on. So now it's not something that you're okay with. Right. It's not something that you go, okay, you know, he got a hold of that pitch. Let's move on to the next one. Now you're down. Or what, you know, maybe if the situation's right in the game, maybe they just tied it up. But those are the home runs you don't like. Those are the home runs like you said, you can't live with. Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal. And it's certainly not the Blade Tidwell, the same one from last year. It's not. And yeah, he hasn't pitched a ton this season still.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's still very much getting back into the swing of things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm excited to see it because I think this team is, you know, we maybe nitpick on some of these pitchers. Maybe they're not doing their best, but this is still one of the best pitching staffs in the country. Rotation wise, starting wise, bullpen wise.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee has a ton of arms. So it's a great problem to have going into this offseason.
If you want to talk about things to fix, things to get prepared for going into the offseason, you have to nitpick this team because they do everything really, really well. Yes. There's very few things that are, you know, off a little bit, and there's nothing that's just a glaring hole. Even talking about guys getting to second, like, I don't know what kind of base running team Georgia is, but they didn't just have second at will.
Yeah. How many, I'm trying to look at how many stolen bases they have.
Not 10.
No, definitely not 10. No.
I
don't think they had any.
Okay. I was about to say, I'm trying to even just remember a couple off the top of my head and I don't. And you could be a bad base, not a great base running team. And you look at Kentucky, what Tennessee, you know, that Tennessee and Kentucky series, and, you know, it didn't even necessarily win Kentucky this series. So maybe that's why you don't even try to exploit it. But you would think a coach goes, yeah, that's not our normal, what we're normally going to do, but let's work on that this week and try to implement it in the game. And like you said, no stolen bases. That shows you how much of a weakness it is for Tennessee. It's not, if teams aren't trying to do it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And Tennessee used the long ball again this weekend. I think we hit 3 on Thursday. We hit 4. Or I'm sorry, we hit – how many did we hit on
– on Saturday,
Friday we hit 2. Russell hit 2 for sure. Luke had 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke had 1 on
Saturday.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's 7 home runs on the weekend.
Love it. Love it. Small ballpark.
Yeah. Right? I got one of them.
Yeah. Well, you have it up. I didn't know. That's so, I think it's so weird that they use, it seems complicated to me, honestly. That's Evan Russell's, right? Did you mention that?
Okay. Yeah, Evan Russell. One of Evan Russell's one bombs on. Yeah.
One of them.
I don't know which one. It was one of them.
Fish it had to, Jordan Beckstad had to fish it out of his passenger seat. Is that right? Is that the story?
Yeah. Somebody did. I hope it was a Georgia.
Are you Zach Ample? Is that his name? Foul ball guy? Is that you?
I can be, yeah. I'll go get some foul balls. I'm always the one that stands up, and even if it goes behind me, I stand up. Dude, that thing is not coming back and hit me in the back of the head.
They don't have a roof there. It's much more dangerous at the Smoky Stadium. It's got that slanted roof.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Very dangerous.
But that one hard off that concrete just bounces right back. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so next year, so we aren't getting a porch for this year. That's been settled. Next year when we get a porch, I'm going to get you an absurdly large glove to catch home runs in.
Dude, I love the adults that bring gloves to games. That's hilarious to me.
No, when I say absurdly large, I don't mean like a first baseman's glove. I mean like a glove.
The one like on bench warmers?
Maybe. I'm not familiar with the size of that one. I mean, this one's going to be like the size of you, absurdly large.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think, pardon my take, maybe took one to a home run derby. So, you know, that style. Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be absurd. Can't wait. And you're going to catch a lot if it's anything like this weekend. If it's anything like this season, what are we at total this season? I know we broke the record.
Who knows? One.
See, it was 104 Tuesday, right? So 111.
Oh, so 111.
I think. Was it 104 after Tuesday?
I don't remember. Is that right? What it was.
Do you know what the NCAA record is?
It's a lot.
It's like 178. It was LSU. I can't remember what year.
Good God.
It's absurd. Yeah, it's absurd.
But that was the bats. The bats were different.
That was when the bats were a little hot. Yeah. They didn't have stickers then.
I can't wait to ask Cody Hahn about that one.
Was it around that time?
Hmm?
Was it around that time?
I think it was around that time. It was back when they were really good.
I'm getting Tennessee's. Tennessee's at 116. So were they 104 after? When were they 104? Was that after the Kentucky game, I guess?
Yeah, they hit quite a bit against Bellarmine,
On Saturday at Kentucky?
Yeah.
Okay. And what a weekend.
Also, we're going to take full credit for Joey from Tampa going.
Oh, are we? Okay. All right.
Yeah, going, what do you go for on Friday? Is it 3 for 5?
He had a big weekend. We didn't get a Joey bomb.
3 for 5, yeah. 3 RBIs.
1997, LSU had 188 home runs.
It wasn't near.
I mean, I don't know what the rules were then. I don't know what bats were being used, but it wasn't when everyone said the bats were way too hot. It wasn't then. I think they just had some dudes on that team too. Maybe mixed with that. But no, yeah, I'm cool with taking credit. Let's set the record straight. If we had gotten a Joey bomb, I'm taking full credit for that. No doubt.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt. So,
well, we're taking credit for. So whenever it comes,
I did say this weekend, but I think we should get a carryover. There was a carryover clause in there. So if you go to Mississippi State, if you're in Starkville for that game, just make sure you give us a Joey bag of donuts after that, after his bomb.
I'll say this again. Like Trey Lipscomb, Mike Honcho, those two guys get a ton of credit for like the bombs that they hit, and they've had phenomenal seasons. Mm-hmm. But the best hitter on Tennessee's team, and I think should be one of the best hitters in the country, is Drew Gilbert.
Oh, I mean, I think most people.
I mean, the way he battles, I mean, he didn't have the home run totals like some of those guys have, but, you know, even when they try to shift it on him, the dude's, you know, freaking ripping it.
Which some of those shifts were just weird. There was like not a well hit ball to center field. Was that Drew Gilbert's shift or was that Luke Lipsius's?
So there was one. Well, the one Luke beat the shift, he just hit it out. But he did. No, he went oppo.
Thursday night, there was a shift on. I just don't remember who it was for. And it was hit to, like, I mean, almost right center. Short right center. And not quite right center, but center field more of. And no one was there. I don't know how it got down in that scenario.
Yeah. There was so, one, I think.
Not a fan of the shift. Georgia.
Friday, I think Drew Gilbert hit one, like, it was kind of up the middle, but, like, the second baseman, if he was playing normal, would have got there. And there was just no one there because
everybody. It may have been that one. It was bad to see. I know why you shift that way, but it's like center field shouldn't be just wide open for anybody.
Right. Yeah, they did it for Blake Burke. They're gonna do it for Luke. Drew.
Why do you shift for Blake Burke? I mean, if he hits it, guys.
Oh yeah. What nine did he strike out?
That's the thing. You just got to hope your pitcher can get around him. Not.
I think it was Friday night. It was. If he would have connected on any of those, like mm-hmm. that ball's going 500 feet easy.
Right.
I mean, he was hacking. Oh, man. I couldn't believe he wasn't in the lineup on Saturday. I mean, I'm not dogging him. I don't care, but
right
the way he was hitting the ball, I just assumed he would be back in the lineup, but they went with Christian Moore.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a lot of Blake Burke from here on out the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't know, maybe.
I mean, he's one that
– I think it's an easy thing I can
say. No matter how big they say Omaha is, Blake Burke's going to hit it out of Omaha.
See, and you talk about, like, the best hitters on the team, like Drew Gilbert probably is, but the guys like Trey Lipscomb, Jordan Beck, Blake Burke, those are the ones that distance. Like, does Drew Gilbert maybe get a couple cheapies? Sure. He's still going to hit a lot of balls long, too. But does he get a couple cheapies? Maybe. Luke Lipsius? Maybe. Trey Lipscomb, Jordan Beck, and Blake Burke, they don't get any cheapies.
No, they don't.
Nothing. They get all of it, so... Love to see it.
Yeah.
Listen, really good. I like winning the SEC. I don't know about you.
It's fun. Props to Vandy for helping us out in that situation. I'm gonna give full credit to the Raccoon.
Yes, and I also want to establish how dumb it is when we have a 4-game lead for someone to tweet out we should cheer for Vandy tonight. Listen, in that game, I don't care who loses. Would it be cool to win it on Saturday? Sure. Would I be okay with winning it? Because, listen, if the game's on the line Sunday, I like to – or on Saturday, I get confused in this series. So, I'm okay with winning on Friday. But if Vanderbilt loses that game, I'm okay with winning it the next day too, or Friday, Thursday in Starkville. I'm not cheering for Vanderbilt no matter what, okay? No. Especially when there's 4 games left ahead of us. I'm not cheering.
We're not cheering for Arkansas either.
No, God, no. And maybe it's different if it's the last game of the season and I have to. Maybe I give them a little root. No, I'm not cheering for them with 4 games left and we have a 4-game lead. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. My thing is, like, we tweeted that thing where Max Ferguson hit that walk-off bomb.
They weren't even mentioned. How did they find it?
All those Arkansas fans, here they come. But it's like, who cares? Like, number one, it's last year. Like, why do you care? Number two, you weren't mentioned. And go make out with that raccoon.
And it was a bomb. Like, that's the thing I don't understand about the Arkansas fans. Like I said, it was last year. But their thing is always, you didn't win the series. Okay, we were just talking about one big walk-off home run. We weren't talking about the series. It was never mentioned. Then they would say, like they've said this year, when we won every series but one, it only matters when you win it all. Well, then we win the regular SEC tournament, and they're like, got to keep it up through Omaha. Well, first off, you've never won Omaha. You didn't go to Omaha last year. Quit moving the goalpost.
You should have. It doesn't make sense. You should have won one and freaking choked on a foul ball.
Yeah. So, Steve Bartman didn't even get to bail you out on that one. So, just shut up. Like, just quit being so annoying. I get the gamesmanship of it. But it's not a good look when you're talking to the regular season SEC champs. So, shut your mouth. You get a chance to put up or shut up in a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. Shut up. Why are you in that? Why were you in that tweet?
Did they win the series?
Did they win today? It got pushed back, and I forgot to check because I guess like rain delay or something. So I'm not sure what that final ended up being today. Let's see.
I'm looking.
It was yesterday's game.
They did
win. Live updates. They didn't win.
Vanderbilt won the series.
Maybe they should have worried about the series this year instead of the series last year.
Damn.
Clowns. Clown show. Tweeting about a series from last year while you're getting beat. By the third, are they third in the SEC East right now? Or no, they're second, aren't they?
Wait, what?
I remember where Vandy was at in the rankings. See, I just, when you're ranked first, you don't even worry about who's behind you. Who cares? Right.
They're so far behind, I can't even see them.
Yeah. They're tied with Georgia for second, by the way. They're not outright second.
What's Texas A&M?
A&M second in the West. They're tied for first in the West. I guess Arkansas has the head-to-head. They're listed above them, so I would assume. Or do they play next week? I would assume they've already played. I'm not sure. But my favorite part is Kentucky and South Carolina just having some of the worst of the worst games this week.
Oh, yeah.
Battling for, I mean, pretty much the worst team in the SEC. I don't count Missouri ever.
I think South Carolina, they lost today, but I think
they lost today, and I think they botched it. Okay. I think they botched today. I think it was an ugly game.
Yeah, I think it was like 7-1.
Duh. I barely even know what losing SEC series feels like, so.
Couldn't be us. I definitely don't know what they look like without terrible weather.
Well, that's my favorite. I deleted the tweet because it didn't come across how I wanted it to. But when they were like, Arkansas fans, series are all that matters. I'm like, all right, well, Tennessee has one loss this season then. A single loss if series are the only things that matters.
Hey, I'm perfectly okay going into the postseason with people doubting us.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I don't want to be so good where it's just like a total collapse.
Right. Well, that's what's funny is everyone says like Tennessee's due for it. So when it happens, shouldn't we just be like, I mean, you knew it the whole time. Why are you acting like it's a big deal?
I'd much rather lose Kentucky than lose in a regional or super regional.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, what's crazy is so the super regional is obviously a traditional three-game series. Regional, the good thing about a regional is those teams have to beat you. They only get one shot at you. Well, yeah. Unless you're in the bottom bracket, the loser's bracket, and you got to play a second game for the winner of the regional, then you get two games. But they only get one shot at you. And good luck in a one, you know, getting one off Tennessee. So,
yeah,
even in the hard regional, I like it.
I just don't get why Arkansas is so obsessed with Tennessee. It's kind of weird.
I know why. This beautiful orange I'm wearing. Also, shout out to University Traditions. Shout out, just the most beautiful hats ever. Got another one. They're the best. If you haven't bought them, I think they're running. Are they running promo right now? What is it?
I don't remember.
No, not right now. I think they're just going. But they run promo.
Posting some.
Just posting some heaters. But I'll tell you this. Not only does University Traditions take care of me, they take care of you all. They run promos all the time. Be on the lookout. They take care of y'all.
Hey, guess who's going to be the consensus number one team tomorrow?
My balls.
Yeah, because sorry, Oregon State. Sorry, Sean. Your Oregon State Beavers lost the series this week. So,
and Miami dropped one on Friday night. What do they end up doing?
I know
they've been out of contention. But
they're 37-14. So,
yeah, they've been out of it for a while, but they're ranked number two at one point. They had that second spot for a minute. A little limelight. Appreciate it.
Gosh.
So, I'd really like for Tennessee to win the tournament, by the way. I'm just going to go ahead and float that idea out there because not that it's not a big deal to win the regular season, but just like basketball, I think the titles are two different things. You know, the people that were like, the SEC tournament shouldn't matter. Like, it shouldn't. No, this sport relies on tournament style, just like baseball and basketball. It relies on the grind of a tournament. So yep. I really want to win that one. It matters. If Tennessee doesn't win it, I'll say it for whoever wins it. It matters. And I would like to win it. I'm going to put that idea out there. I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to win it.
Hey, if you're hanging banners, it matters.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's do this all again here in a few weeks in Hoover.
Let's do it. Man, I was gonna ask you something.
We going to Omaha?
God. My heart says yes. My bank account says hell no.
Dude, my bank account's like, you spent way too much money for like future. I should have. And they're like, all everything's after Omaha too.
Like everything. Like LSU.
LSU. I'm going to Tahoe. Dude, the season tickets. I think they're all mine this year, which, you know, I've been paying for them anyways the last few years. And then I had to freaking Danny's make me pay my donation this year. So
you paying for both of them?
Yeah, they're mine, man. They're all mine. They used to be families. Mm-mm, just C-Mitch. Not Mitch anymore. C-Mitch. I'm thinking about going Cushions if it's not too late. What are your thoughts? What's everyone's thought on?
I got Cushions.
Y'all have Cushions?
Yeah.
So here's my thought. Well,
my back kills me, dude. So I have it.
See, I don't like them because you have to sit like. That's why I don't like it. The reason I'm thinking Cushions is more for Emily, because I don't know if we've got a lot of man spreaders on our row, but it's always, and we don't get in there till like right when the band gets on the field. So we're like, this the whole game.
It at least gives you that much room.
That's what I'm saying. So I think I'm gonna do that for Emily. Go Cushions. So I may just do one because I don't really like them that much.
I do, dude. When I come in there sweaty, dude, I need.
Do you think they wash those between games, or is it just all your sweat? You get September sweat in November.
Oh, it's all swamp ass, dude. I would never dare smell that.
Do you think you get the same one every year, or do you think you got someone else's swamp?
Oh, probably somebody else. It's fine with me. Hey, just hose that thing down with a water hose, or it'll rain later that week. We'll be fine.
Okay. All right. I kind of have myself talked into it a little bit, but you pushed me a little bit more. So I may go Cushions this year.
I just like the little support on the back.
That's fair.
We stand up literally all day until like
that's game. True. I try to sit down and I just can't. But
no, I can't.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right. I might be UT ticket off. Just get ready for me to call tomorrow and see what we can work
on. I always tell myself, hey, I'm just going to sit in this chair, relax, have a few cold ones. Never happens that way.
Oh, never. But it's okay. We have a few cold ones. What more can you ask? You're shooting 50%.
Yeah.
I might not even bring my best chair next year just because I know it's not even worth it because it does take up a lot of space.
Hey, we got space. We're good.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, that's King, dude. I can't get over it. Can't get over being SEC champs. I love it. It's never going to get old. Baseball needs a tradition like cutting down nets, so we don't get to really do anything for it. I can't dogpile you through the camera.
Dogpile me?
I mean, yeah. That's like the baseball tradition, right? Like you get a big dogpile after a big win. I mean, not that it's.
You get a ring for that? I'm sure you do.
Regular season? I mean, Butch Jones printed one for the preseason for the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. I think they're.
Oh, he did it for just life in general.
That's fair. You all get rings this year. You all put up with my coaching for a full season. You get rings.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd be worried about Butch Jones, Arkansas. He's in your state, your fine state that you think's fine. He's existing there. So.
Even Carnell Tate got to enjoy yesterday.
Yeah. Was he cool? Yeah, he was there Saturday. Okay. That is. And I got to give credit to Josh Heupel because football coaches are a different breed. They, you know, football coaches are football coaches because they always wear like not just Tennessee attire, like full sweats. You know what I'm saying? Like you can tell where they coach.
It's like bad.
I always get credit for some long shorts. Yeah, he does. He's got about you can tell when he grew up. Yeah. 100%. The Tony Vitello though, he dresses like, you know, you question if he's the UT baseball coach. Not that he doesn't have UT orange on or UT adjacent stuff, but he's never in like sweats.
Right.
So I'll give him credit for that. Josh Heupel was at a game. He was in Tennessee orange, but it wasn't a Tennessee shirt. So he's dressing a little bit better. More going out attire.
Yeah, had his flip flops on, his baggy shorts.
Hey, yeah,
hey, it's kind of weird. Yeah, we can't get this man better seats. Like I got better seats than our football coach. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm cool with it.
The MVPs are showing up now, dude. What are you going to do? Yeah. It's the end of the season.
You got the Haslams coming in, sitting down for the first time this season. And all brown stuff. I'm like, yo, can we not get them some orange? Hey, you passed like 85 shirts on your way in. Can you not pick one up and put it on? Jesus. Dude,
they're struggling right now. That Casey's check hadn't cashed yet.
Yeah, I'm like, you wear browns in it? We're the number one team in the country. You want to wear that loser brand that you have on?
Yeah, and you're doing our boy Baker wrong? Get out of here.
Somebody did text my dad and said the Haslams are here to see a real winner.
Hey, Cleveland's a playoff team. They used to be when they had a real quarterback.
Yeah, when was that?
Number six, baby.
Shit.
He took him to the playoffs. So if you're going to say he's not a playoff quarterback, that's just false.
Dude, shut up. We're not going down this road.
It's false. That's all I'm saying.
It's a trash can.
Okay. All right. Who's the Panthers starting quarterback?
Who knows? They're trash too.
They'd be better served by a trash can than the guys they've got on their roster.
Oh, 100%. We would gladly take Baker Mayfield. That's what's sad.
Might win you a playoff game.
Hey, we got Matt Corral, baby.
He's going to play wide receiver.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be so sad.
All right, I don't have anything else for baseball. If you want to talk some more baseball, dive in depth tomorrow, sometime this week, bat flip. Yep. Usually Mondays. See, we got a – man, Dylan Taylor's out there grinding for Outkick. So, you know, we work with that man's schedule. He's big time. We're his servants. So
yeah,
just follow the Twitter. Landon will let you know when the bat flip's on. But make sure you check that out. Get more in depth for the from the Georgia series. Preview a little Belmont on Tuesday. It's the last weekday game. Then you've got Mississippi State
has lost 9 straight games.
Oh yikes! And they weren't good before that 9 straight.
No. I'm not saying that, like, there still is a lot of talent on that roster.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Agreed.
You should kick their butt.
And you get a little Omaha revenge from them.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We beat them in Hoover last year. That was a crazy part.
We did beat them in Hoover. Mm-hmm. Well, they were, they literally, not that they weren't good for the whole season, but they weren't your favorites by any means.
No.
And they just kind of came on at the right time.
Right.
So credit to them for that, for sure. But let's go for a series sweep. Let's finish this year off strong. Brutus, come here. I'm taking your stupid collar off. Brutus.
Yeah, I got some basketball recruiting going on. Got a huge 5-star commit in Julian Phillips, number 12 overall player in the country, number 4 small forward, 6'8", 200 pounds from Branson, Missouri, and it picked us over Auburn. So
another
victory lap around that Auburn Tiger program.
And I like this. I like this pickup a lot too, because I feel like you have a true point guard right now with him coming in, you know, around him, and I'm really gonna like it if you get a guy like Vescovi or Josiah Jordan James to stay around him too.
Yeah, and man, I could go. I was thinking about this earlier, and this might take us too far where we don't even get to SEC realignments again. But that's fine.
I'm okay with it.
Tennessee being in the preseason top 10 at number 10.
I'm not buying.
I'm not buying.
I'll put a put on that stock.
Yeah, I'm just like, let's not overhype this team again. I mean, first of all, Kenny Chandler was such a huge part of this team. I just think that's really tough to ask Zakai, even though he was phenomenal last season. Mm-hmm. But there was games where he didn't have to do anything.
And there, I mean, there's just also so, I mean, Kenny Chandler is a known factor. You know he's gone. There's still a lot of unknown factors about this team, like Josiah Jordan James, like Santiago Escovy, like who your big man is going to be. I mean, there's still just a lot of unknowns that I'm not confident saying they're the preseason ranked top, you know, preseason top 10 team.
Yeah, and who's your bench?
That too.
Like, I mean, Victor Bailey's gone. Justin Powell's gone. Brent Hundley Hatfield's gone. I mean, right now it's whoever is playing that five, if it's Adu or Urosh, the other guys on the probably your sixth man. Other than that, you know, Jemai Mashak.
Right.
I mean, BJ Edwards, like who else is left on this team? You know, you got Tyreek Key coming in. I think that's big. You know, hopefully you're able to add a couple more guys. Tyrese Hunter would be, you know, a really good guard to have. I want to see a big man. I just don't know if one's out there. They had a visitor this weekend and Toby Awaka. He's from the Bronx. He knows the Kai Ziegler coming for a visit. 6'8".
Is he 2022?
2023.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I figured, but
didn't. Yeah. So he would be on next year's team if he were to do something. It looks like it's between Tennessee and Maryland at this point. I think he said Seton Hall was in there as well. DJ Jefferson is another guy, 6'5", 190 pounds, small forward. This is 2022. So I guess he would be.
He'd be enrolled then this
class. Fall. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, not really a big man out there that you're kind of in the running for. So that kind of worries. I really like Olivier. I just don't know. I just don't think he's a dominant big man.
And what I think he can bring you though, is I think he helps you on the offensive end stretch the floor. I think he adds some consistency defensively. But my big question is it in stretching the floor offensively, especially if you get Vescovi back, especially if you get Josiah Jordan James back. I don't really worry about that. It's who's going to control the boards. Who's going to be your, you know, Tennessee Grant Williams. Grant Williams at Celtics is a different animal. Tennessee Grant Williams, a guy you can go to late in the shot clock that's going to work a, you know, either get to the free throw line or you know, put a ball off the backboard and score. That's what you need. Is Jonas Adu that guy? He came along at the end of the season. He gives me hope, but it's an unknown. And that's like, I mean, I agree with you about I don't know how it's exciting that Tennessee has, you know, created a program that's consistent enough that there are people that believe they're a top 10 team going into the season. It's just a lot of unknowns for me.
Yeah, I agree. I just like late in the shot clock, you need to get to the rim. Who's your guy that's going to get to the rim?
Yeah.
I don't think you have one.
No.
And that's very concerning to me because I feel like that was kind of an issue at times this year.
Until Kennedy just decided he was going to do it. I mean,
right.
I say Josiah Jordan James is unknown. After yesterday, I'm pretty confident he's gone. Which is weird because if you'd asked me during the baseball game, I would have said maybe he's staying.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would, you know, I hate social media for like the reasons that he was retweeting for a couple of reasons. I'm not saying all the people that tweeted negative things about him are bad people, but they probably, you know, are even good people. I don't know them, but a lot of people probably just said it in the heat of the moment. Like they probably didn't mean it, just something they rattled off and felt good sending. And then also like Twitter's just a very small portion of every population of Tennessee fans, of everyone. And then it's also social media. They're not saying it to your face, but if you go to that baseball game with 4,000 people there, everyone there showed you love. And you found a few negative, mean tweets that are meaningless. Like I get it. I think it's stupid. They shouldn't have sent it. I think everyone needs to be better about just blocking or muting people that say negative things about you. But
easy, Josh.
Yeah. No, I think that's healthy. I think it's extremely healthy. That name searching, that's a different animal. I think you just probably shouldn't do that. But if it comes across your timeline, just block or mute them because you're not going to change people's mind over the internet. It's not going to happen. So just get it out of your space.
Yeah, just the name searching thing, that's not a rabbit hole you probably want to go down.
No, And two, what I want to say to him, how many good tweets did you find when you name searched? Because there were probably a lot. I don't know what the ratio was, but they were in there, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So it's just
like every bad play you make, somebody fires off a tweet. Every good play, they fire off a tweet as well. So
yeah, and like I said, Twitter's not a, people aren't great on Twitter for whatever reason. I don't know why people want to use Twitter to be negative all the time. I'm negative on there sometimes. I know, mostly out of irony, mostly to be funny. But yeah, I mean, I have my bad days.
Or like argue with people. Why do people want to go in there and just argue with everybody?
Sometimes I'm in a mood where, but again, it's more out of like, I just want to make them mad. And it's more like an Arkansas fan today that just no reason jumps on Tennessee stuff. Like, I just want to fire them up.
It's like every day. Like,
right.
If you do that every day, like you're
going to be a negative person.
You're a miserable human being.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. It's not fun to see that stuff about you, but just I hope he remembered what that baseball game was like, because it was nothing like the tweets he was retweeting.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think I speak for most Vol Nation when we say we love Josiah Jordan James. So,
right.
Yeah, I'd like to have him back. I think it could benefit his career. I think it benefit Tennessee. But I just don't know after yesterday. I'm not confident.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know where else you would really, like, you're not going to be drafted. Like, I just don't know what. I don't understand what yesterday gets you. Like, what are you trying to get out of that, I guess?
I hope it's like, hey, I'm going to come back and prove you wrong. That's what I hope.
Yeah, maybe you're saving receipts. Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe just screenshot them. Maybe don't cause a ruckus, you know?
Which I didn't. I mean, I don't know if people were being mean to him on Twitter about that. I'm not trying to be mean about it. Like I said, I get it. I just, name searching isn't, like you said, it's not a rabbit hole you want to get into.
Right. It's a dangerous game.
Not one.
Yeah.
Because most people
Most
people that want to say something good, you've probably already seen because they probably tagged you in it.
Right. Yeah. Tennessee at number 10, just because they got Julian Phillips. I mean, I think that pickup is huge. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a guy that's 6'8", maybe weigh a little bit more than 200 pounds. Definitely going to have to fill out a little bit. But if you have him playing the wing and Josiah playing the four, I think that could potentially be a really good lineup.
I mean, I think even if Kumwa can be a little more physical, him playing the four, I think, would be strong.
Okay. And then – so where do you put everybody else?
Of course, it depends on the roster. But I think you could see a mix of do you want Zakai off the bench? So if you get Josiah and Vescovi back, is Vescovi your one with Zakai in pretty quickly? Because we know Vescovi can do it, but probably not for 40 minutes. And maybe it's Zakai with someone else coming off the bench. But I mean, I don't hate the Josiah four, especially in a starting lineup when you're looking at it from a starting role. And then maybe you go a little bit smaller and Olivier's your five if you can't find a true big man that's going to give you what you need. Because if you don't have that comfort that you can go to Jonas or Urosh down low late in the shot clock, why waste that starting spot?
Yeah, I agree.
If Olivia can give you more from somewhere else.
Or if Josiah can, you know, hit those mid-range jumpers. I mean, I'd rather have that than a post player that's just going to get buried under the basket and not do anything with it, get their shot blocked or whatever, or turn the ball over.
Yeah, if Josiah and Vescovi both come back, you have a ton of options, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, just top 10, I'm going to have to see a lot more from that.
If they both come back, though, I feel better about being a 10 team.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see where Tyree Key fits into this rotation. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can he carve out a starting role? You know, is that where you get your, you know, maybe Vescovi's one or Tyree Key's the one until Zakai comes in the game? I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Please land a big man. I do have high hopes for Jonas Adu, though. I really think he can be a really good post presence.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Not buying 10. maybe like 18.
Well, and
15, something like that.
I'm not well enough versed in college basketball to know what the other teams there look like. So I can't, you know, it could be more about just the landscape of college basketball too.
I just kind of go back to like when we had Keon and Jaden. Just getting to the basket was the issue.
Yeah.
And not having a true point guard. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. Just not having, you know, I think Zakai can be that true point guard, but you also got to worry about turnovers. You know, is he, you know, with his size, is he able to get to the basket?
Fair, yeah.
Or I guess he can get to the basket. Can he finish at the rim?
Yeah. And he did it a lot this year, but you know, maybe a little bit of newness, but he does a good job creating space too, which is good for his size. Mm-hmm. That he can do that. So 100% agree. It's a lot of questions, not a ton of answers on the subject.
Yep. So y'all, the Mavs are destroying the Suns right now.
Are they?
It's about 22, 23 now. Let's see. The Suns. Devin Booker's 0-6. It's almost halftime.
Not my Grant Williams.
Nope. Chris Paul is 0-3, 1 point. Yikes. Glad I bet on that game. Psych.
Let's talk a little Grant Williams. Let's talk a baller.
Dude, the fact that he can score like 0 points in like two games and then go off for 27 in game seven is insane. And he's guarding Giannis the majority of the time.
He's guarding the other team's best player in just about any game they play in.
Right.
Dude, I mean, he's
7-18 from three. Good God. Could you imagine defensive... if he would be able to shoot, if he like shot like that in college?
We'd be cutting down different nets.
Yeah. Man.
I'm not shocked at the defensive part of his game at all. The offensive end, very shocked.
I'm surprised he played 39 minutes. I mean, usually 39 minutes, Grant has 85 fouls. He did have five. He was one away from getting the boot. You know, he was happy to see the NBA boosted up one when he got there.
Right. Right. He's like, oh, I get six? Oh, guys, I'm getting five every game. I promise
exactly.
you that.
Exactly. Yeah.
There'll be six tossed in there some, but I'm getting five every game.
Right.
Love it. Love to see it. I mean, it's funny that Celtics fans, there's some that I follow that are already annoying because they're Boston fans, but they're not big Grant Williams fans until today. And they were a little bit during the Brooklyn series too, but they're big Grant guys today.
Yeah. I feel like they're on and off.
I mean, I
know a big one, and they're like, I get it. You know, a lot of the games he just eats up minutes.
Right.
I mean, he's going to have some of those games probably.
I mean,
where he has five fouls, 2 points, and, you know, four rebounds and stuff like that. But it showed today that the Celtics think he's a key piece to their
game. Yeah. And I mean, being a 27-point scorer in an NBA game is really hard. Being that in a game seven is very, very difficult. So the fact that he did that, I mean, shows how good he is. It's way more likely he ends up a minute eater than anything else. I mean, that's right. Love to see it. You love to see it.
Love to see it.
Do we want to talk a little conference realignment? I just want to throw. So I mean, we can talk about this all kind of all throughout the summer because it's not going to happen until at least since Oklahoma come to the SEC, at least. So I mean, I'll just threw it out there. Is I think it was Matt Hinton, I believe. I don't know exactly what he covers. Full disclosure. But they talked about, and I think they've gone away from the pod thought. If it happens, I think now it's more of you have three permanent opponents, and then
three, 5-5.
So there's no divisions, I think, is the thought now that they're going to. So no pods, no divisions. three permanent, and then you play everyone else rotates. So it'd be every 4 years that you play someone. Or every 2 years you play someone, I think, and then you play there every 4 years, like we had discussed last week briefly.
So is that 3-5-5? Is that what I read the thing about 3-5? It was three.
I don't know what the five, I guess.
Three permanent, you'll play 5 1 year and 5 the next year.
Like, see, I think they've talked about going. I guess that would have to be how it is. That's, I get, yeah.
Yeah, because that's 8.
Right. But I feel like they've talked about going to 9 games, but maybe they keep it at 8. But that wouldn't be enough. I think you'd have to go to 9 games. It'd have to be 3-6-6, right?
Okay.
Because we're going to have 16 teams.
Oh, yeah. I guess this was ACC.
ACC is 3-5-5. Yeah. Okay. So they're going, they are like in heavy. It hadn't been official yet, and it won't happen until 2023 for the ACC. But they are, I think it seems like everyone's pretty on board. I think what the ACC wants to iron out is it wants to know who the permanent opponents are before they make decisions, because they want to keep certain rivalries intact.
Yeah, I think Pat Narduzzi did not want this because he thinks it's something to win your division.
I get that. Like, I don't disagree with that, but when you're not playing people often in your conference, that's stupid.
Right. I mean, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, you win the East, but like, you want to win the East to go to Atlanta. Like, that's
right.
That's the only reason you care about the East is you get to win the SEC championship.
I think for this to happen too, I think the NCAA would have to change their rules, because I think right now to hold a conference championship game, you have to have a division winner, I believe. I believe the NCAA rules committee would have to change that rule to allow for that division split to happen. But I think they've discussed that kind of being how it could happen with these bigger conferences. But I like Tennessee's permanent opponents that have been floated out there. It's Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt. Of course, you don't want to play Alabama every year, but you're not going to get rid of that rivalry if you have three permanent opponents. It's not going to happen.
You know it's going to be Alabama, Georgia, and
probably
Texas A&M.
Well, the good thing is we're the only in-state opponent. We only have one in-state opponent.
So it has to be Vanderbilt. In-state.
You're playing Vanderbilt if you have three permanent. Now, if it's Florida, I love it. The Alabama one kind of stinks, but we know, like, listen, Nick Saban's time's, like, it's coming soon, right?
God. I don't know. He's like that Ricky Bobby. I got really good health care. There ain't no reason why I can't see you at least 110 or 130.
Maybe. I mean, he's 71 years old, I think, right now, which is absurd.
He doesn't look it.
No, he doesn't. So, listen, maybe he doesn't. But I really like Alabama's permanent opponents besides Tennessee, maybe. LSU and Auburn. So maybe they get this.
LSU, Auburn, Tennessee. That's kind of tough. I mean,
that's a tough
you're road. You're looking at Tennessee right now and probably not thinking it's tough, but the way we're kind of, you know, maybe looking down the road, who knows?
The toughest is Mississippi, for sure. The toughest Mississippi State. Of course, we don't know Oklahoma, especially when they get to the SEC. But Auburn, Oklahoma, Ole Miss. I think that's probably the toughest. Well, without knowing what Tennessee is in the future.
So with Texas, Missouri, and Oklahoma, they're definitely going to play each other. I mean, are we not recreating the Big the Big 12 at that point?
Missouri would only play Oklahoma. They won't play Texas in that. Their permanents: Arkansas, Kentucky, and Oklahoma. That in the what people have proposed. Again, nothing is even close to
official. I want that one.
Right. Well, I was a fan of the pod because it has to be Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, right? If you're going by geographic location, or South Carolina.
Yeah. So I guess my question, who would South Carolina have?
In this one that was proposed or, you know, thrown out there, there's just not easy. Florida, Georgia, Kentucky.
Because I don't, who's their rival?
I don't think they really have a rival. Because they don't have one from the West. I think they play A&M every year as their non-rotating West opponent.
Okay.
I think it's A&M.
So Florida has Tennessee, South Carolina, and who?
Florida has Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Georgia's got a
Georgia will have Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina. I think that's a tough one, but you do have South Carolina there to balance it out.
Yeah.
That's why I think Mississippi State not being a great team and then getting Auburn, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss, that's why I think that one's a tough
one. So who does Auburn have? Auburn have Alabama, Georgia.
Georgia and Mississippi State. So theirs is up there. Theirs is, but they do get Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When you're looking at that, Alabama's got the
– Alabama's probably – that. Yeah, Alabama's probably one of the top – I mean, if not the number one, definitely the number two.
Hey, that's good. Let's balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And get all these five stars. Let's see how many championships they can win with that schedule.
Right. And I wouldn't mind reshuffling maybe two of the three every, like, 10 years.
Yeah, we're going to keep Vanderbilt.
For sure. But I think you get more flexibility, too, with that when you get rid of divisions. You have 16 teams. You have to do something. The scheduling now makes no sense.
Right. Well, I think with, you know, you're going to play, like, 5 1 year, 5 the next year. You know, there's some rivalries that can start like that.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Where you're playing teams like that, like, at least every other year. Whereas now, you know,
Tennessee Ole Miss is going to be bitter if you get that playing them every 2 years.
Yeah, and just
having 4 years home and home.
Yeah, that Memphis rivalry right there. Battle Memphis, is that what it's going to be?
Yeah. Assuming.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's like you – I agree with that point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a great point of you do get some rivalries. And then we talked about how it's just good for – I think, too, the SEC, that's going to be great for recruiting. Where, you know, you do get to go to that state or you do get to play every team every 2 years. You get to go to that team every 4 years. I think that helps SEC in recruiting. So I think that boosts the whole conference in that sense. And then some of these East rivalries have only started because we're in the East. Like South Carolina, Tennessee have, you know, become a little bitter, but it wouldn't be that case if you – I don't think South Carolina, Tennessee would be like that. If you weren't in the same division, if you didn't play every year. Tennessee, Georgia's kind of an interesting one. It's a lot of history there, but for how much history it has, it's really not been that bitter.
No, it's just a want to win because
a lot of, I mean, yeah.
You because they've been so good.
Well, and it's always, and when they've not been that good, Tennessee's been that good. So it's always,
yeah,
been flipped that way, but it's not for
before they kind of got to where they were. They're at them and Tennessee were right there winning,
yeah,
what 8-9 games,
right. And then I think too, like when you add a Missouri doesn't have a rival in the East. Their rival's Arkansas,
yeah.
So, like you said, maybe they get a rivalry created playing everyone, playing, you know, they get some of those old Big 12 rivalries back up because you get add Texas and Oklahoma. So yeah, I like that point. I think it creates a better conference if you do that. I do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be more fun, you know, people to travel to these different stadiums too.
I know. I want to get to every SEC home or every SEC home stadium before I die. And you know, with my blood pressure, I don't think it's going to be a long time. So I really need them to go to this schedule. Needed to happen, which I think I've gone ahead and just, well, assuming the schedule stays the same, I think I've already decided I'm just not going to be able to see Tennessee play those games. So I got to be a little more flexible, but
yeah,
I've been to a few, so that's good. I've gotten a few knocked off that list. And A&M was a big one that I was like, I got to go to that one. I'm not going to get another chance. LSU, I feel that way. So going to LSU. So yeah, I'm excited. I hope it happens. I hope it happens.
Let's get it.
I think if the ACC does it and everyone seems to kind of like it, especially like TV schedule wise, makes you more money. See, that's another thing too. Is that Tennessee? So a Tennessee South Carolina game, you know, wouldn't be a big deal. Maybe Mississippi State's good that year, and so Tennessee Mississippi State gets you more viewers. Like that's, I think it would be great for your TV deal if you want more money from that TV deal.
Yeah, agreed.
So,
I'd love to get some more matchups. I just feel like you see this, and it's not like it's the same teams every year, but it is right. Like you just get tired of playing. Like, do we want to play Missouri?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not often.
Yeah.
I like to beat him every once in a while, but not often.
Right. Most important.
Okay. Most important. I've got a big one.
Okay.
Got a big one. My brother, Jonathan Mitchell, hit his first hole in one this weekend.
That's awesome.
185 yards. We didn't get to see it go in from the tee box. So not like how I dreamed my first hole in one, watching my first hole in one would be. But it was pretty cool regardless. It was an incredible.
So was he trying to look for it?
Well, that's the best part. So many times you don't see your ball on the green and someone's like, did you check the hole? Kind of jokingly, you know, there's a little bit of hope in there. Well, someone said that to Jonathan and that's the best part is like, it was a great shot. Someone even said that's tracking towards the hole. We get up there. My ball is about 5 feet behind the hole and we assumed it was his. I assumed mine was short. So he walked up to it and he's like, that's not my ball. So he starts walking away from the green behind it because he thought maybe he was a little long. Someone told him to check the hole. And I was like, no way. There's just no way. He gets right. He stands right over it and just immediately goes like that. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, you're lying. I got to go get my phone. I'll be right back. I got to go get a video picture. So
that's crazy.
Awesome. It was awesome. And he almost hit another one. He left one about 2 feet or he put one about 2 feet long and it started even rolling back a little bit. So I almost had another one in the same day.
Dang.
After that,
you just quit golf.
I said if that goes in, I don't know if you quit golf, but I think we just leave. I think that we leave it there. And
you get a free round after that, right?
I'd hope so.
I think that's how it is in putt-putt.
Yeah. 18. You got to hit a hole in one on 18.
Yeah.
only hole that matters. Yeah, it was awesome. He did finish. He struggled putting. I got to dog him a little bit for that. So he finished two over on a really tough course, though. But, yeah, so it was pretty freaking awesome. It was one of the cooler things I've experienced, even if I didn't get to see the ball go in. So,
heck yeah.
Shout out Johnny Mitch.
Shout out J. Mitch. Not a season ticket holder, though.
Not anymore.
Angels rookie left-hander Reed Detmers pitched a no-hitter this past week on Wednesday. On Tuesday, in a 12-0 victory over the Rays. He's the youngest pitcher to throw one since 2006. He's 22 years old.
Dang.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
That's crazy that 26 is the youngest, though. That's even weirder.
Yeah.
It's awesome, though, regardless.
Another most important. You using Joey from Tampa, that's hilarious to use that as Tennessee's like main account used it today when he got a.
Did they?
I don't know if it was a hit.
All right, well, we get that credit then. We brought that nickname to the forefront. We didn't start it. Shout out to Zerker, but we brought it to the Twitterverse.
I'm trying to think of which one. Oh yeah, it was a. Joey from Tampa with back-to-back RBI knocks. Yep.
Let's see if I can find a Joey from Tampa tweet for this podcast.
Man, I got a heck of a fail. It's a fail on me too, but
before you do go to fails, last most important, sort of most important. They didn't win, but one Knoxville. Got my shirt on. There's only one Knoxville. Had their first game last night at Austin East High School. They'll play in the Randy Boyd Coliseum when it gets built and when they're in the USL. But they were at Austin East. Great crowd. Great game. They looked really good. They were on the attack for pretty much the whole time. Just came up short. And the PK should have been a draw. The PK was very weak, terrible, just absolute garbage call. So, and then they got a goal call back for I don't know what. So it should have been 2-2 at least. Refs were heavily involved. We saw them. We're investigating to see if it was our friend Jeffrey, just to double check. But great game. Crowd was good. A lot of people there. Just a cool environment. I hope they get into somewhat of a stadium soon. I think a big part of minor league teams is you got to serve beer. You got to serve alcohol. You can't do that at high school. I understand. I get why you didn't last night. I'm not complaining about that. But and dude, the
start them early.
That's exactly. They played Asheville City FC, and those dudes, there were like 9 of them that traveled. They were assholes. They were the biggest. Like, they just acted like they know more about soccer than they, because Knoxville had their first soccer team, professional soccer team. They thought they knew more for some reason, and they were just cocky little assholes and weird dudes. And I don't like them. They were like, there's a gamesmanship line, and then they just, I don't know, they were jerks. I'm not an Asheville fan anymore because of them. So like the city, I don't like the city anymore because of them. So thank you guys for taking your city on the road and really doing it justice. You guys did a good job. I hope you were proud of yourself.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. So also we'll be in the USL in a few years, and you guys will be in the NPSL playing summer games. So who knows more about soccer now?
Yeah, exactly. I have no clue what you're talking about, but yeah, I'm going to agree.
Also, they had a Roy Kent chant.
Roy Kent.
Well, they had a, it was awesome. They had a, he's here, he's there with Swedish golden hair, and it's Buster. I don't know how, Soberg. I think his name's Buster Soberg. It was awesome. It was a good chant. Yeah. Me and Sam loved it.
So it's not he's every effing where?
It's not he's every effing where. It's he's here, he's there with Swedish golden hair.
So how does that get started?
Well, you have a supporter section, and if you have a strong supporter section, everyone knows the chants because you've got like a page that, you know, everybody. So like if I go to a USA soccer game, or how I know all the USA ones is because I like the American Outlaws have a website that I can literally find every chant they do. And it's written out like lyrics to a song. And you, so you learn that way. They tell you what tune it's to or how the chant said, and you join in that way. It's also started organically. So you have the supporter section who yells it. Then everyone else learns it and joins in with them. But if you want chance, you got to have a strong supporter. It's essentially your student section. Got to have a strong supporter section, have strong leadership. I'll give them credit. They were pretty good. We need to pick up our volume a little bit, maybe, but they were good on Friday night Friday night, Saturday night, whatever night it was.
Cool.
Strong showing for the first true Knoxville pro team. So it was a lot of fun. One Knoxville did it good. I got a video of the first goal that I just pulled it. I was like, this feels like a goal to me, and I got a video of it. I don't even think the main account got a video. They didn't tweet it out. I tweeted at them. They didn't retweet it. You guys can have the rights to it if you want. I'll give it to you. It's a good video. So, from the stands, as good as you can have from the stands.
Right. So. Cool. That's one Knox, baby.
I love it. One Knox.
One more most important. Lady Vol softball, number 11, national seed. So they will host a regional. So heck, props to them. Let's just win one in softball and baseball.
I would not hate that. Where does softball play? It's somewhere in Oklahoma, isn't it? Is it Tulsa?
No clue. Not a clue. All right. Fail?
Yeah, go ahead real quick. I'm going to look up the Women's Softball World Series.
I only have one fail, and dude, how do you do this? The Reds, Cincinnati Reds, how bad they are. Throw a no-hitter today and lose.
What? What?
They lost.
What was the score?
1-0.
Just one? Okay, that's a little bit better, but good Lord.
A no-hitter and lose 1-0. They're so bad.
How many walks do they have total?
I don't know. They scored a run off of fielder's choice, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But I'm like,
how many errors?
I bet on the Reds today. I was like, I'm feeling good. Dude, do a no-hitter? I mean, how can you feel any better and still lose? Oh, my gosh. I love betting so much. I'm done with it. I quit. I think Major League Baseball is the hardest thing to bet on.
Oh, I would agree.
100%. I don't think it's even close.
If you can watch the game and bet inning by inning, I think that's the only way you can really come out on top.
It's insane.
And it's still very hard. Like, that doesn't make it easy. It's just,
I
think it makes it a little bit, manageable, I guess.
That's all I got for fails.
Dude, I went and kicked around. I'm going to toss myself most important. No stretching. Hadn't kicked in years. Hit a 45-yarder today.
You did a 50-yard if I was holding it.
Probably. That wizard that wizard kicking is not the same, dude. Wizard holder. Not the same. What did I tell you? I think I told you with a few months I could have a 60-yarder. Oh, I feel real good about it now.
Okay.
I took a video because I was like, man, I just feel like I'm very tight. No elasticity to my hips. Nothing. Hips were very stagnant. Very stagnant. A little embarrassing. I need some yoga. In a bad way.
Easy now. You'll get signed to the whatever football league they're starting up.
Dude, XFL, hit me up. Hit me up. I've got the it may have been a Kansas fan. Did you see this home run or foul ball? I don't know. It was out in away from the infield. Was heading towards a couple, and the guy slid like 10 feet over and just left his girl to fend for herself.
Dang. Did it hit her?
I think it hit the stands first, and then it did like scrag bounced off of her. Yeah. It didn't hit her on the fly at least. But you got dads out here feeding babies and catching balls.
You gotta catch it. Yeah, you just gotta suck it up.
Yeah, that dude was like, I'm out. Then you got this. George Costanza that as best he could. it was awful. I don't know if this is a fail. I don't know. And I don't know the exact reasons for it, but the Texas women's softball coach during the Oklahoma game was not happy with the umps for some reason. He gets tossed as he's heading towards the dugout, just turns and gives him a bird on the way out. And he got his team came out of the dugout getting the crowd pumped from it.
That's some full Kenny Bauer stuff.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if they won or not, so I don't know if it was an effective technique, but it was pretty cool.
Hey, whatever you got to do.
For sure.
You're fired up.
For sure. I agree.
All right.
All right, guys. It's been fun. Next week, I'll be talking about my first hole-in-one.
Absolutely.
Doubtful.
And we'll be talking about postseason.
We will be talking about confirmed ESPN analyst or play-by-play, VFL, friend of the pod, Cody Hahn, next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Love it.
Talking a little Hoover. After Mississippi State sweep, we'll tell them to bring the broom.
Yeah, get it out. Guys, that's all we got. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. We'll have the update on the bat flip whenever that's supposed to be this week. And we'll be back on Wednesday probably again, more important issues. Follow along for some updates. We'll have those out on Twitter and Facebook as well. That's all we got. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.